you know, we don't expect everyone to wear a CGM for every single day for the rest of their life. That's not necessarily the goal here. It's more about kind of gaining that insight and then keeping yourself on track in the long term.
Welcome to the Trailhead of Trail Runner Nation, where we go on virtual trail runs with guests that are going to help us become better runners and hopefully better human beings, healthier human beings.
And today, that's the topic. We're going to learn about blood sugar and how we can monitor it in real time as we run down the trail. That's right, it's 2023, and we've entered into the era of technology. Let's learn.
Are you tired of the spike and crash and GI distress that comes from sugary-based sports nutrition? It's time to give UCAN a try.
And what you need is UCAN's award-winning Edge Energy Gel that lasts longer than other gels and provides a more consistent feeling of energy. They have zero sugar, so they aren't too thick or sweet, and you don't have to chase them down with water to make them work.
Most sports nutrition products push the idea that more energy means more sugar. But UCAN destroys that myth. It gives you more energy with less sugar. We have a TRN sample pack. If you want to learn more about it, go to our deals page. Don and I actually did an unboxing of their free sample pack. You get 6 free Edge Energy Gels, and all you do is pay the shipping, $9.95. Go to UCAN.co/TRN or go to our deals page, watch that video, and there's a whole bunch more information there. If you've been following us for a while, you've heard us talk about the benefits of regular blood testing for health optimization, which is why we're excited to share this sponsor with you, Inside Tracker.
To live your healthiest and your longest life possible, to do the very best and reach your potential out on the trail, you need to understand what's going on inside your body. That's why they call it Inside Tracker.
By using data from your blood, DNA, your fitness tracker, Inside Tracker gives you a personalized and science-backed recommendation on things that you can take control of to optimize your health, like foods, supplements, workouts, lifestyle choices, including ways to optimize your sleep and stress. For a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire Inside Tracker store when you sign up at insidetracker.com/TRN.
So if you're ready to get a crystal clear picture of what's going on inside your body, along with science-backed recommendations to optimize what's not working, then visit insidetracker.com/TRN. Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Don Freeman.
And I am Scott War. And we know as runners and athletes that our bodies respond differently to different types of fuel, different in exercise intensities, and even different stress levels. What if you could make a more informed decision about your nutrition, training, and recovery, leading you to better performance with fewer setbacks? What if you could do that?
Scott, you had me at what if. I like the sounds of it. And I'll tell you, we were on a run this morning and we were talking about this very podcast. We do some planning and prep, Scott, for the podcast, and it was on the run. And we said, we think there are 3 types of people listening to the podcast today about what we're going to talk about. We believe there's some podium chasers, the athletes that are trying to get every inch they can out of their body, and they're looking for a tool or a way to monitor it and get there. We know that there's some lifelong runners, people that just want to run for as long as they possibly can and enjoy it. We think people that are in that category, lifelong runners, will want to hear this podcast too. And we believe there's some people out there that are just, they don't care. They're just having a good time and just want to show up. We think we have something for all 3 of them. And when we're done discussing this today, there's going to be some information and we're going to change some minds.
Today, we're going to talk about CGMs, continuous glucose monitors. And we've invited an expert on CGMs with us. This is Kara Collier, and she is the co-founder and VP of health. She's the chief dietitian at NutriSense, which if you've been listening to some of our ads, NutriSense has been generous and sponsored some of our episodes. But we reached out because we like the product and we didn't really know a whole lot about it. Where's the science and how can this really help an endurance athlete? So Kara, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Let's start out from the basics. What is a continuous glucose monitor?
And why should I care?
Yeah. So continuous glucose monitor, which we can all use CGM for short from now on if you'd like.
Yes, please.
is really exactly what it sounds like. So it's a small device that you can put on the back of your arm. You put it on at home and it's going to now measure your glucose continuously. So alternative ways to measure glucose previously is either, you know, you go to your doctor, you get a lab draw and you get that point in time, or you can buy a finger prick meter over, you know, CVS. Ordered on Amazon. And again, you're pricking your finger, you're getting a drop of blood, and you're seeing what your glucose looks like in that moment. The alternative with the CGM is that instead of a picture view of your glucose, you're getting a video. So you're seeing the changes and fluctuations in your glucose day to day without the prick of blood or without having, you know, to get your blood drawn from a lab. And so it goes on the back of your arm. It's painless. And nobody really believes me when I say that because I think I'm biased, but maybe you guys can chime in if you've tried it. It really doesn't hurt. You know, you just put it on and then for 2 weeks straight, it stays on there. It's got a little bit of an adhesive that sticks on just kind of like a Band-Aid. And then anytime you're curious about your glucose levels, you just use your phone to scan it over the device. And then you're getting updated real-time values of what's happening kind of on the inside without any sort of, you know, finger pricks or adjustments. You just use that phone to see the most updated real-time values.
Now, many of us, I have a cousin that is a type 1 diabetic. And he has this little thing that he sticks in his stomach that monitors his glucose levels. And it's critical for him because he needs to keep track and know when to put a dose of insulin in there or when not to, when to have a little bit of an orange drink or when not to. Why should a healthy person that's a good endurance athlete, or maybe not good, I'm not a good endurance athlete, why should we consider a glucose monitor? Why? What kind of information can this thing give us?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're correct that these devices were originally developed and created for diabetics, both type 1 who are insulin dependent and need it to make medication adjustments, and type 2 that is more of, you know, the lifestyle related chronic health condition. But what we believe strongly at NutriSense is that this data is useful for everybody and not just diabetics. So in addition to diabetics, certainly not trying to replace that use case. And for many, many reasons, for the average person outside of athletic goals, this data can help you think about things from a preventative standpoint. By the time that we have traditional markers where our glucose levels have entered into the diabetic range, usually things have been changing behind the scenes for 2 to 3, even 4 decades. So with that continuous movie picture of your data, you're getting better insight into what's happening way sooner to be able to make really easy adjustments to then live that healthier, longer lifespan. But from an athletic perspective, what's really helpful is that you're getting that insight into fuel gauge, essentially. So our glucose levels are really our primary source of fuel and energy levels. And by being able to see exactly what's happening and how things are adjusting, it's much, much easier to dial in a fueling strategy that then is going to help your performance and your energy levels and your general athletic outcomes.
Oh, that's great stuff, Karen. I want to dig into, like everybody that's listening, how does this affect us as endurance athletes and people out there on the trail that might be listening? But when you were talking about the healthy person that wants to monitor their body before it's too late, if they're potentially a diabetic type 2 and they manifest it over time, and by the time they actually see that maybe they have some numbness in their fingers or losing in their toes or some vision issues, they want to be alerted to it. So I imagine someone with a family history of this would be a perfect candidate to check in and see where they sit.
Yeah, absolutely. Family history, or even if you've gotten a pre-diabetes diagnosis, which means your glucose levels are really kind of at that threshold of non-diabetic and diabetes, that's a really good opportunity as well to make some lifestyle-focused changes to kind of veer yourself in that other trajectory rather than continuing towards the more diabetic path. And again, with getting that feedback loop, it's so much easier to make an adjustment in your breakfast after you see you have a big glucose response and then see the next day that that adjustment worked and resulted in a better response and then stick to that plan than previously. Maybe you got a prediabetes diagnosis and your doctor tells you, eat less carbs, eat more vegetables, go run more. And you're like, okay, it's vague advice. And you're not, most people aren't really sure what to do with that. And that also leads to motivation dropping off fairly quickly. Whereas if you see, you know, you put this device on, you make some changes and you get that feedback loop right away that things are working.
Right.
This is really from any perspective, also fueling strategies or, you know, any adjustments you're making with the CGM data, you get that right away. Now you know, okay, I know that works. I'm more likely to stick to that, or I'm only going to have this meal on special occasions because I know what happens. It just really enhances that feedback loop, which actually makes you stick to the behaviors that are working or not working. And we all know the only thing that actually leads to good outcomes at the end of the day is consistency. So anything that can build that consistency and that behavior change loop is a win.
Now, I know we promised to get into the endurance stuff, but I still have questions on this other use case. And so you've been on the clinical side. You've worked with patients that have had this type of warning, and you've watched some people that have ignored the warning, and you see which direction those folks can go. And then you've probably witnessed people that have taken control and made proper choices. Can you just compare and contrast, you know, what happens to someone if they just ignore it and they don't care about their blood sugar and they may have a family history and they just let it go? And can we really affect that by making lifestyle choices with our intake?
Yeah, absolutely. And this really is what motivated me to start the company NutriSense, is by how powerful I saw this data in real life. So previously, I was a clinical dietitian. I was working in hospitals, mostly critical care, ICU units. And most of the time, people who are coming into the ICU are there for complications related to lifestyle, chronic conditions, as opposed to something like trauma or gunshot wound that you typically think of when you think of the ICU. So people were coming in with needs for emergent leg amputation because of uncontrolled glucose levels, or needing to go on kidney dialysis because of uncontrolled glucose levels. So I was seeing that extreme end every single day, and I was very motivated of how can we intervene earlier in a way that's meaningful so that people don't ever end up there. All of that is preventable. It never has to happen if we can get a good handle on it sooner. And so I just started experimenting with friends and families and clients of putting these devices on people to see what happened. And it was pretty powerful, and there was enough there that I was like, this needs to be available to the masses. And that's really where the genesis of the company came from. So I've seen in hundreds and now thousands of people that, again, if you build that motivation in a way that's personalized and actually tailored to you, and you catch it sooner, the sooner the better, we really can put you on that positive flywheel and kind of affect the whole trajectory of your life, essentially. You know, if you can make differences today, you're going to be much healthier and happier in all aspects of your life when you have full control over your health.
Kara, kudos to you, first of all, for seeing that there was a problem and coming up with a solution. I can't applaud you enough for that. How did you make the leap from that population of people who are coming into the ICU and now a completely different, maybe polar opposite population that is fairly healthy, probably eating okay or above average the American diet, and out there exercising on a regular basis? How did you make that leap?
Well, I'm gonna interrupt, Scott, and I know have an answer. I'm gonna just stand up for Kara and say, not that she needs help with this, but I think she's serving both. I think she sees.
Oh sure,
yeah, that's what I think. So with that said,
I want to know how she made the leap, though. Okay. I hear she's serving this one population that is absolutely seeing a benefit from it, and then going saying, hey, you know what?
Oh,
there's probably this other population that doesn't have those issues, that isn't, they're the ones coming into the ICU because they fell off of a ridge and broke their ankle. but I'm still going to put a CGM on them. I want to know how that jump was made.
Yeah, absolutely. And to Don's point, we do have a wide variety of customers specifically that we work with, anywhere from your high performing athletes, biohackers, C-suite executives, all the way to, you know, somebody who does, we do take people who have diabetes as well and really want to get a better handle on it and want that support. So we see a wide spread of people coming for different goals. And part of the reason, though, that I made the jump from working mostly with ICU, very sickest of the sick, to kind of putting it on anyone who may not traditionally need the information, is that I realize that's actually an underserved population. If we can arm the people who are already healthy with better data to continue to be healthy, that's nice. The positive ripple effect that I'm actually looking for. I want to help both. But a lot of times, those are the people who are actually turned away. Using myself as an example, I'm healthy, active, fit, but I'm still pretty on top of it of getting my labs drawn, very particular labs that I want to see done. And I was seeing a new physician and she wouldn't order the labs for me because she's like, you're healthy, you don't need these. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's exactly why I want them, because I want to see the trends year over year. A lot of times it's just not prioritized to continue to help healthy people stay healthy. And so I actually think that those people don't get the answers that they're looking for. And we see naturally, they just come to us because of the same exact reason. And pre-diabetics or women going through menopause that are experiencing changes, or people who have gut issues, things that traditional healthcare doesn't always support, they're coming to us with, I'm really motivated. I want all the information I can have. How can you help me along my own journey that I'm kind of taking into my own hands?
Yeah, and I'm not the first to state it, but I'll say it again, that it's many times in our country we think of sick care and not health care, right? Where you're not sick enough yet, go away, and when you're sick, then we'll throw all the resources and tools we have to try to sustain your life. And so getting in front of the problem is I can see that's what you were doing. I think it's brilliant.
Thanks. Yeah, you said that well.
You know, one of the things that as I was using this for a 2-week period is, of course, we talk on this podcast. We've been doing this podcast for 12 years and we hear from dietitians and coaches that are saying these foods and these fuels are better than these over here. And this kind of intensity is better than this kind of intensity, or you need to mix them up and stuff like that. And you go out and experiment, but maybe you don't see the benefit of those changes right away. In fact, many times it takes months and years for you to see benefits. Whereas this little device, and I will say, Kara, to your point earlier, I was a little nervous to self-apply this because there is a needle and there's great instructions on how to apply it.
It's not a very big needle, Scott. It's a tiny, tiny needle.
It's a tiny needle, but I don't like needles. And I almost had somebody, my wife, apply it for me, but I decided, no, I'm going to do this the way that they prescribe and their directions. I didn't feel anything, Kara. In fact, I was wondering if I got a faulty one. I was ready to send it back in the box to say, this one didn't include a needle. So if you're out there and you're afraid of needles, don't let that be one of the hurdles that you need to cross, because for me, I didn't feel a thing. Now, back to this immediate feedback. The thing that I liked about it was I didn't have to wait months and years to see if I wanted to experiment with a different type of food or a different intensity level in my running. I could do it and have immediate information as far as the glucose level in my blood is concerned. That was super, super fascinating to me. And we'll get into some of the others, but I think that's one of the huge benefits that I saw was it's immediate feedback that you can experiment with some of the things that maybe you're deciding you want to go to a high fat, high protein diet and cut out all your carbs. This is a great way to see what is the immediate feedback. And then there's long-term effects, of course.
Kara, can you talk to us about that immediate feedback? Were you surprised when you started working with people and seeing this type of feedback in the things that they're eating?
Yeah, absolutely. And to Scott's point as well, the immediate feedback is one of the most powerful parts of the tool. The data itself is useful because it's giving you information, but just having that immediate feedback loop, again, is what drives behavior change and actually makes things work or not work for people. But one thing that was really interesting and apparent when we started seeing real individuals' data and working with more and more people is how much each person is different from each other. You know, I think a lot of people say this where it's like, I can't give you a one size fits all answer, or, you know, this works for some people, it doesn't work for other people. But when you see it in the data, it's pretty powerful of just the differences of this carbohydrate source works really well for this person, doesn't seem to work well for the other person. This quantity works well for this person doing the same exact activity, where for this person, we need more, we need less, we need to pair it with something else. So really just the variability is pretty powerful, which is why having the actual data from your own body is really useful. And that whole experimentation process, I think, can be just extremely eye-opening. So a lot of times, you know, especially our athletes, they'll come and they'll be like, what should I eat, you know, before my race or during or after? And it's start with what you're doing now. Let's see how it looks. And like, let's make these minor adjustments and experiments. And within 2 weeks, you're going to get a lot of information because each day you can make an adjustment and see how things change.
That is really fascinating. And I think that you've opened my eyes and make me think a little bit different at this point. You can't go to YouTube. You can't open a textbook and read, oh, I should have this or this, because that textbook doesn't know who's reading it. You know, there's so much variability, as you said, and how many times has the comment been made, N of one, you know, you are you, and you've got to go figure you out. And this sounds like the perfect tool to figure that out. Because so often on our conversation, it is about nutrition, trying to avoid a bonk out on the trail, trying to maximize recovery. It's all about things you are putting in that helps your outcome. And this sounds like a great tool. What are some of the things that fascinated you, that surprised you as a clinician slash as a, you know, certified expert of nutrition? What are some of the things that you walked away with saying, I never learned that in school, but now I know because I've seen it in practice?
Yeah, with my own data or just kind of across the board?
Oh, yeah. Tell us whatever came to mind is exactly where we wanted to go.
Yeah, just starting with my own data of experimenting is pretty interesting, to the point of how I respond, and this is the same for anybody, is different than maybe what you might predict from a glycemic index perspective. So if you think about, you know, glycemic index is a scale 1 to 100 predicting on average how high your glucose might go. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a population average. So there's always going to be people who fall higher or lower within that population average. So me as an example, I've tried all the different fruits out there to see how my glucose responds. And I consistently have the lowest glucose response to bananas, which is a higher glycemic index fruit. Hmm. And so for me, that's just one of those weird, this is just my body for some reason. You know, I respond really well to bananas, even lower glucose response than things like berries or really low glycemic index fruits. While that is certainly not true for everyone. So although I've also seen a lot of clients who have really high glucose responses to bananas. So that's just kind of an example of how it differs from what you might expect just based off of your own unique combination of probably genetics, microbiome, epigenetics, all the different factors that are playing in to really have those unique responses.
And what a great bit of information if you were out at a race and you come into an aid station and they have bananas there and you're feeling a little low, your energy level is low, but you know, and you would reach for the banana because you've read high glycemic index. This is going to give me a boost of energy. But if you know through using this CGM that your body doesn't react or get the glucose spike or that energy spike, you would maybe bypass that banana and go for an orange slice or some other high glycemic or even low glycemic indexed item. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where we really encourage people to experiment. The N of one, but with real data.
Right.
You learn that information way, you know, much quicker when you actually get that feedback loop. And the other thing that comes with experimentation is starting to connect objective data with your subjective experience. A lot of people have a hard time knowing what's happening, like what they're feeling and what that means. Whereas if you kind of train your body with that data, eventually you get a pretty good idea of when I have this weird headache, that means my glucose is really high. Or when I'm crashing like this feeling, it's not just that I'm exhausted, it's that my glucose is low.
Right.
So you can start to make these connections and then you've learned how to fix them because you've been experimenting. So it's really kind of enhancing that mind-body connection as well.
Now, once you apply this thing and you start looking at the data on your phone, it looks like a stock market graph. You know, there's little ups and downs, and there's some nuances, some challenges interpreting the data. Do you find that there are specific nuances that an endurance athlete or a runner would see versus somebody that is pre-diabetic and maybe not as active? How do we interpret those graphs?
Yeah, great question. So for anybody who's non-diabetic, we typically recommend staying in a range between 70 and 140 milligrams per deciliter. And so in our app, you'll see that like it's green if you're in that and it's red if you're outside of that. And then if you have prediabetes or diabetes, it's going to be a little bit different. But with athletes, we actually see sometimes that, again, it'll really range in what zone they feel best at performance wise. So typically we see this ranging between more like 80 to 160. 180 is kind of that upper threshold we really want to avoid just from a health perspective of not getting much above that. And most people don't, unless maybe they're pushing it really hard on actual performance day. But usually it takes a little bit of time for the athlete to feel and start to make those correlations of when they feel like they're performing best to figure out where to stay. But those are kind of the general ranges just from a health perspective, specifically for non-diabetics. And then that low range is really where you'll start to feel kind of that bonking, the energy dips. And again, some people usually feel it when we get below 70, but some people will start to feel those experiences more below 90, below 80. So it's really about also kind of dialing in how you feel in relation to the data.
Yeah, one of the things that we talk about endlessly on this podcast is learn to listen to your body. Listen to, you know, all the biofeedback that's coming in, whether it's that headache, this means I need to, you know, some nutrition to help support it. You know, am I going too hard? Listening to your heart rate, your respiration. So we really talk about listening, but we need some database to try to help, some information to try to help put some sense to this stuff. What does this mean? I'm feeling this. And I know through experiment, you can experiment years and years and say, yeah, when that happens, I try this. But it would be nice to be able to have some kind of instant information to say, oh, this is it, and I need to do this. That'll pull me out of it. I don't have to just keep guessing and suffering until I figure it out. It's nice to listen to your body and have a tool to train you. You may not need it every single time because you'll learn to hear yourself and learn to make the response. So just like a heart rate monitor, I think we talked about that the other day. Pretty soon you can start to predict your heart rate because you feel it. You know where you are. When you first got your heart rate monitor, you couldn't. It was just no idea. Oh, that's what it is. But after a while, you go, ooh, I think I'm at 152. And you know what? It's like 152. And so we really learn to listen. But a tool like this will help us dial in nutrition.
And Don, I just figured out how Kara named the company NutriSense. It gives you a sense. You mentioned it gives you a sense of what's happening in your nutrition and how your blood's working. NutriSense. That's a brilliant name, Kara. Well done.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Was that a mistake or does that just happen?
I like that version. Yeah. It's better than that. I don't know. What are some names that make sense?
Okay. I've got a question. We don't want to throw anybody under the bus. That's the last thing we want to do. But let's talk for a second about your opinion on these packets of gel that might be full of sugar, simple sugars that we shove down every 45 minutes per package. What are your thoughts on that? What have you seen athletes when they suck down one of those as their nutritional supplement on a workout? What does that do to the graph?
Yeah, and it really depends on the activity they're doing, like the level of intensity. I've seen a lot of really recreational or beginner runners probably overuse gels and goos that maybe they don't need. Either they're not demanding the amount of energy required for that quick fix of immediate sugar. So they're seeing these big spikes and just kind of, you know, they read maybe I should be doing goos this often, but really I'm only, you know, running for a couple miles and I probably don't need it. Where the opposite side of the story, where sometimes we see people who are really, really pushing themselves and very trained, very metabolically healthy, and they're probably under fueling and they could probably use even more glucose or sugar than they're giving their bodies. So with that being said, I've sometimes seen it lead to a roller coaster that's really impairing both their performance, how they feel, and their outcomes. And I've also seen some people where, you know, they're starting to really dip and kind of hit those lower glucose levels and maybe they need to up it, so to speak. And so sometimes, you know, the traditional gels and goos can work. They can have a time and a place. But with that being said, I think a lot of the times we can find alternatives that are maybe more aligned with nutritional goals and long-term health goals that also serve the same exact purpose. So for many people, maybe I saw that you guys are also a fan of UCAN products.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people experiment with it, go really well. So that's always an awesome option. Or people will do a lot of the like baby food pouches that are just kind of like organic fruit purees. Those seem to work really well. So I think there are alternatives people can experiment with that might have better long-term outcomes. But when it comes to in the moment, I have seen them work.
Now, I've got a question that doesn't, I'm not even asking for an answer, but just for the folks that are listening, just so they can kind of, so they know I've asked. Because they're probably saying, Don, why don't you ask this question? Have you ever seen, Kara, an aid station table? And what's on that table of you know, Oreo cookies and M&Ms? Or is it something that...
Pretzels, potatoes.
Okay, no answer necessary. I've just got to think that there are probably some items on there that are appropriate when you need to get yourself out of a hole and probably things that you should probably avoid if you're in the right spot. So I think there's a time and a place for everything on the table, but knowing that time and place is the job of the skilled runner.
Yeah.
Well, and excuse me, Kara, I'm just going to butt in there. Knowing when you go to that table and knowing what you need at that point, you know whether you're in a hole, whether you're not, and what foods are on there. If you're in a hole, I need something that's going to boost my blood sugar and give me that rush. So I need to grab that Coca-Cola and down that rocket fuel so that I can have that spike. Or if things are in a good place, what things on that table are going to keep me at that place and keep that stock market from having booms and crashes?
Kara, you like how we did that? You like how we asked questions, answered them ourselves, and totally kept you out of it? Do you have any questions? Do you have any questions for Scott or I?
Are you crazy? That's the only question she has. Are you crazy?
It was a good answer, though. It's really about empowering yourself with you know where you're at, how you feel, you know what's going to work for you in the different circumstances that you could potentially get into. And you've experimented with the food that's going to be available that you've tried ahead of time. And so you're empowered with the right information so that you can make the best decision.
We've been talking to Kara Collier, who is the co-founder of NutriSense. They have a special deal for TRN listeners.
We've been learning that your blood sugar significantly impacts how your body feels and functions. NutriSense lets you analyze in real time how your glucose levels respond to food, exercise, stress, and sleep.
Here's how it works. They use a small device that you apply to your arm. It's easy and it's painless.
Different times during the day after different foods that you eat, you can scan your app right over the continuous glucose monitor and learn how your body responds to different foods.
This is why NutriSense is different. They have expert dietitian guidance. They have somebody that's there to tell you what all of those graphs mean on your app, how you can improve your glucose levels with the food you eat and some of the activities that you perform. Visit NutriSense.io/TRN and use the code TRN to save $30 and receive 1 month of free dietitian support. You may know Native for their aluminum-free deodorant. Native keeps their ingredients list bare naked with ingredients you understand like coconut oil, shea butter, and baking soda.
Or maybe some of your friends know Native deodorant because you have that 72 hours of protection, smelling sweet for 72 hours.
And they have some limited edition scents right now from their candy shop collection featuring gummy bears, strawberry and vanilla taffy, and sour berry belt. And it's kind of fun. I like that you can put a sour berry belt under your arm. It's better than that musky scent that you get from those antiperspirants.
Hey, you know what? And there's no calories or guilt when you dive into a strawberry and vanilla taffy first thing in the morning.
Right now, go to nativedeo.com/TRN or use the promo code TRN at checkout and get a sweet 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/TRN, or you can use the code TRN at checkout for 20% off your first order. So, Kara, I'm gonna give you a little bit of insight into my experience with a CGM, continuous glucose monitor. Let's just call it CGM like you suggested at the beginning of the episode. A couple things. One is Nutrisense, and I don't know if all the other companies are like this, but I saw the stock market graph, and I'm playing with it. I'm entering the food when I'm eating it and watching it actually plots when you ate and what you ate, and then you can track to see how your blood glucose reacts to that meal. And one of the things, I get this text or an email, I can't remember how it came to me, from a dietitian at Nutrisense, and it said, "Hey, I've been watching your graphs, and here are some tips."
Send back that monitor.
Get to the ER right away. Don't drive yourself. No, these are two things that have changed the way that I eat. Okay. I like carbs. I especially like sourdough. Sourdough bread, pancakes, you get. I love sourdough. And the person, the dietitian that was looking at this says, "Okay, I see that you have a snack and you have a piece of sourdough with some butter on it or whatever." She said, "Next time, try to incorporate some fats or some proteins with that. So put some avocado on that toast, or put a fried egg on there, and see what that does." And by golly, sure enough, instead of getting a spike, it didn't go up as high. So that little bit of advice from your team helped me. It wasn't just looking at a graph and going, "Well, if I eat toast, my blood sugar's going to spike." There was some coaching involved in there. The other aha that I had.
Can you hold on that aha, Scott?
And
don't forget what it is. So, Kara, when was it in the development of your process that you said, "You know what? We need to help guys and gals like Scott. We need a nutritionist, somebody that knows something to get in the middle of this chaos." When did that happen?
Yeah. So this was from the very beginning. We've always included nutrition coaching. So coming in the company as my dietitian, you know, I've worked with clients. I've seen how it works. I knew that there needed to be data plus the human side of things in order for things to be actually productive and magical and see the outcomes that we're looking for. Where I was coming from the perspective previously of just coaching, and without data, you can't be as good of a coach either.
Good point.
Then I've seen the perspective of just giving friends and family the CGM and not having any availability to really help them, and they might come to incorrect conclusions. The last thing I want is somebody to take something they love. You know, let's say Scott loves sourdough, and he's like, "Great, I have a huge glucose spike to sourdough. I can never eat sourdough again." And now he's sad, and then probably has a binge on sourdough like 3 months later. So that could be incorrect, where instead we can make a few adjustments and then you know how sourdough can work for you. But really it requires that human element to come in and kind of make adjustments. And sometimes that human there is also there just to be the human side of things, less about knowledge and more to encourage people or to keep them accountable, you know, check in with them, mm-hmm. nudge a little. And so some people use our coaches daily, very heavily, and some people use it very seldom with kind of questions here and there, or we'll pop in every once in a while. So we really leave it up to the customer of how they want to utilize the coaching. But even from the very beginning, it was always kind of part of our core belief that you needed both things for it to really be effective.
Good.
Well, I love that it does help the coaching with the data, because another bit of advice that I've changed a little bit of my lifestyle is the dietitian said, you know, after you eat that whatever meal that is giving you that pretty large spike, when you're done, go walk around the block. Go walk down to the mailbox and back. And just that little bit of zone one, which is talked about zone training, zone one, get out and move right after you have that high glycemic or whatever response to that high glycemic food, that helped level that out and kept it from going as high. And just those insights from the coach were invaluable. I could always look at the graph and go, well, okay, I really like this food and every time I eat it, it's going to go up. But there was coaching involved that says you can still have your pie and eat it too. What's the metaphor? I don't even know what the metaphor is.
Okay, eat your pie.
Yeah. but the coaching says, you know what, you can do that, but try adding this other habit or habit stacking and put things together so that you don't have as great a spike. And I found that absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of little things you can do to make your life work for you. So a lot of people come into the program thinking they're going to have to remove a bunch of things. I'm going to have to remove all these things I like to eat.
Right.
And often they can have a time and a place, and maybe it's some little strategies like that, going on a walk after, always eating protein with some of those higher carbohydrate meals, unless, of course, you're like mid-race, probably not the best recommendation. Right. But, you know, caveats, little things like that, making sure you're getting enough sleep, monitoring your stress. That's the other factor with glucose, is a lot of people expect it's going to tell them information only about carbohydrates or only about nutrition. But part of the reason I believe this data is so useful is that it really gives you insight into a lot of the core pillars of what makes up good health overall. So glucose levels are also going to be affected by your sleep habits, your recovery, your hydration, your stress levels, those physical activity, general fitness, in addition to kind of what you're eating, which gives people a really good viewpoint into their health overall.
Okay, Kara, put on your clinician's hat for a second. And I want to hear a little bit of information about, it may not necessarily be diet soda versus regular soda, but anything with an artificial sweetener in it. Are we fooling our body? Do you see spikes when you put these zero calorie things in? Do you have any public service announcement for us?
I certainly have opinions.
that's what we're after. That's what the clinician hat's about.
I think it is contextual. So in general, sometimes we do see a little glucose response to some of these artificial sweeteners, some of them more than others. But it depends on what your starting point is. So if we're just talking about like the average person consuming maybe like their dinner meal, not necessarily like while they're training. And let's say you drink a soda every single night with dinner, you are 100% guaranteed going to have a glucose response to that. And it's not ideal thing to be putting in your body. So let's say you have three sodas every single day, and that's part of your habit. If we can remove that and instead replace that with a diet soda, I would take that as a win overall. But if you're not consuming any soda and now you're adding in diet soda, I would consider that not a win because of some of the unknowns associated. There's definitely some research that it might be influencing our gut microbiome, that we're still having a little bit of an insulin response, that it's maybe triggering cravings because you're getting that sweet taste and your body wants more of it. So there's certainly some potential consequences, but it is a better alternative if your initial goal is to get off really high sugary foods. And maybe then eventually we can taper that. But for a lot of people, that's a good starting place for them.
So here's what I'm hearing. In with big artificial sweeteners, whoever they are, they probably didn't have nutritionists on staff when they were creating these crazy chemicals that they stuff into these bottles.
Probably not. Okay. Yeah.
That's funny. I want to go back to the comment you made, and it piqued my interest, Kara. Let's talk about stress hormones and sleep. What can you infer from a continuous glucose monitor about your stress and your sleep.
Yeah. So I'll start with stress. Stress, essentially, we can think about it both in terms of acute stress and chronic stress. So acute stress would be something like a really stressful moment. Maybe you're arguing with someone or you're in a traffic jam, or it could also be something like an injury or something that's a physical stressor, where chronic is kind of that low hum of stress. Maybe you're overtraining, or maybe you're not getting enough nutrients, or you're kind of always in this state of emotional stress. Both of those can lead to higher glucose levels. So the acute stress moment usually triggers an actual glucose spike. A lot of times people who are especially individuals who are consuming a lower carbohydrate diet, their highest glucose peaks are from stressful moments, which is always a really eye-opening experience for people. You know, they're like, every day when I have this 5 p.m. meeting with my boss, it's the only time my glucose jumps 80 points. And it's like, it's stress. And this is due to a release of hormones that happen during that stress response. So things like epinephrine, cortisol, it floods our body with glucose, because usually that means acute stress means we need energy to deal with something that is stressful. Where in modern life, we don't actually usually need extra energy to deal with those things. And then chronic stress is the similar effect, but kind of at a just dampened level. So it's more of a low increase of things like cortisol and adrenaline that are leading to a low increase of glucose levels overall. So typically we'll see this if someone's under a lot of chronic stress, their fasting glucose levels in particular, so when they're not eating, are higher than they really should be. So you might see it like 5 or 10 points higher, but their nutrition looks really good. They're very fit. They're very active. And usually we can point to stress in that type of situation. And if we can get that under control, we can actually see those glucose levels lower. So that's, you know, physical and emotional stressors, where sleep, you can almost think of that as a stressor in itself too. Because if we're not getting enough sleep, then we're putting our body under stress. So typically we'll see it where if you're not getting enough quantity of sleep or even poor quality of sleep, you'll see your glucose values rise the next day. Oh, and this is where, you know, context can be everything. There's actually research to indicate that a poor night of sleep, so either it's disrupted all night or you're getting less than, I think, 5 hours of sleep is kind of the threshold there, can increase your glucose values the next day by up to 25%. And we've seen sometimes even higher. So pretty dramatic increase. So a food that maybe you normally tolerate really well, if you got a really poor night of sleep the night before, might not respond the same. And so it's sometimes making those adjustments as well, of kind of, you know, maybe I need to eat a little differently today because I didn't sleep as well. Or maybe I'm chronically not sleeping well. Our new parents that we work with are usually in this bucket. They're like, I'm not going to be sleeping better probably anytime soon. And so for them, it's maybe making some adjustments kind of during that whole stage to kind of compensate for this one thing that you're just not going to be able to improve at this point in time. So we can kind of see that. The reverse side with sleep is that often if we see people going into the night of sleep with higher glucose levels, either they ate a really big dinner, really big meal, maybe you had like a couple servings of dessert before bed and your glucose is rising as you're trying to go to sleep, can actually hinder your sleep quality. So anybody who maybe wears like a sleep tracker has probably put together this correlation. If you wear an Oura ring or a Whoop or something, it will often tell you, you know, did you eat a late meal? Because it sees that your sleep quality isn't as good. So it's kind of a bidirectional relationship with sleep.
Okay, I'm ready to ask a question, Kara. And it's one that probably everybody thought we were going to lead with. But we saved it. We saved it to the end because there was so much good stuff before this question. And so here's my question. Let's say I'm a trail runner doing a long trail run. Is there a place and a way that I can monitor myself through this race and adjust my nutrition on the fly during the run? Is your product going to help that runner?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can, this is assuming that you have your phone on you, you can scan it and see in real time the data. We are working on an integration with some of the wearable devices. So you could see it on like an Apple Watch or a Garmin or anything that kind of syncs with Bluetooth. So that will be coming hopefully down the road. But if you have your phone on you, then you can scan it and see in real time what's happening and make adjustments. And again, something that's really useful is making those connections as you're learning the data of knowing what it feels like. So then eventually you don't necessarily have to check. You can fact check later.
Right.
You know, you could scan it and see, yeah, I was exactly right when this moment happened. I thought that's what my glucose was doing and I corrected it appropriately. So you can kind of train how you feel there. The hardware itself, so the actual CGM, will hold up to 8 hours of data at a time. So if you go 8 hours without scanning it with your phone, it will pull the last 8 hours of data. So, you know, if you were running for a couple hours, didn't scan it, you can scan it then and you'll see everything that happened.
Yeah, that's, you know, and a lot of these wearables start to overlap all of your findings. You know, here's your pace, here's your heart rate, here's the temperature of the day, here's your mileage, your speed, and now we could lay this over the top and start making a very interesting analysis to say, yeah, these things happened here because you didn't have any energy going along and you should have fed yourself a little bit differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, too, this shouldn't be something that you apply at the start of a race and haven't done training with it. You know, we always say, never do something new on race day.
Yeah.
It's good to go out and train with this and eat with it and learn what do those spikes mean and what is my response to Kara's point with bananas. You would think that bananas are going to give you a blood spike, but in her case, it doesn't. Her body doesn't react as well to bananas as they may some other kind of fruit. So I think it's good to have it as one of those airplane gauges, as Don likes to call them. But you need to know what those gauges are and what things you can do to affect the gauges before it's really a powerful tool.
Yeah, definitely. It's best used if you're doing it while you're training and while you're learning. And kind of through the whole cycle of figuring out what's best before I start training, during, and then after, and kind of those other factors outside of food of, you know, what happens if I'm not getting enough sleep, or, you know, what happens if I'm traveling or altitude changes, all these kind of changes in variables that you can also see. You know, women on their menstrual cycle also is going to play a role. So there are a lot of different variables to kind of learn from as you're in that, you know, training pre-event phase.
That's really fascinating. I never thought about, I mean, we've talked about traveling to a race if you're going to a big race, and what that it affects your stress hormones, but I never thought about how that really affects with the glucose and all that sort of stuff. That's a good point.
Any comments about going from, say, sea level up to 10,000 feet? Is there anything we should know about that as far as glucose?
Yeah, altitude can have a pretty powerful impact on your glucose levels. In general, you're in a more of a, your body's kind of in more of that stress state when you're in a higher altitude and you're not used to it. You're not acclimated. I do a lot of hiking, a lot of camping, and I'll eat the same, you know, post-hike meal at a higher altitude. And if I'm not adjusted, my glucose response will be almost double than what it is if I'm doing
wow.
it. I live in Phoenix, so if I'm around the area in Phoenix, which is very low altitude, then it's much different. And so what I would really recommend in that circumstance is trying to give yourself a little bit of time to acclimate, because it is something that will go away if your body's a little bit more used to it. So if you have the flexibility to get used to that altitude before, especially if you're going to be doing an actual event at a higher level, then kind of adjusting to that. But it does put your body just more in that stress state.
Kara, as people are listening to this and they're going, okay, you know, this is really interesting. You may have changed that person that says, you know what, I really don't care what's going on with my glucose level. I feel good when I'm out there running. I don't need to care. La, la, la. But you've changed their minds and they're saying, you know what, maybe I should take a look at this. Maybe I should try it out. What is your typical prescription for someone, an athlete, a runner, in this case, or endurance athlete? What do you recommend? How long should they try this out? How much data do they need before they can really start seeing insights
yeah.
and changes?
Yeah, so all of our plans are at least a month, which is two CGMs because they last 14 days. So for really anyone's purposes, I always recommend doing at least a month because a month is a good amount of time to experiment and learn. So gain that information where you're tweaking little things, you're figuring out what types of food at what time, what quantity are working best for you. So if you're already fairly knowledgeable, maybe you have a pretty good routine going and you really just want to learn those insights, a month can often be enough time. But if you're kind of new to, you know, tweaking your nutrition or new to athletics, usually I would recommend more like 3 months. And then that's enough time to spend more time learning, but then also seeing if the things that then you're changing are making the impact that you're expecting. Mm-hmm. And especially along the lines, if people are using this tool to also make like longer term health improvements, like maybe you're starting running because you want to improve body composition in the long term, or you just got that diabetes diagnosis. We actually was working with someone recently who joined because he just got a type 2 diabetes diagnosis and wanted to start marathon running to kind of control that. So for him, we really recommended he did a 6-month plan because he was kind of in there for a longer term goal and really wanted to see progress over time. Whereas, you know, if you're really fit, you're really active and you're a high performer, a month might be enough time to really just get the information you need to move that extra 1%.
I was going to ask for a success story and you offered it right up because, you know, every clinician, every product has a reason to be there. And there's always a story behind that. You know, here's someone that had this event happen in their life and they used us to get over that obstacle. And, yeah. And so it's really something that helps keep you motivated in what you're doing and promoting and celebrating what you've created.
Yeah. And internally in the company, we kind of highlight these case studies, you know, the dietitian that works with them, if they find someone who had a great success and with their permission, we just bring it to other people. So, you know, like our engineers or our designers get to see the real stories too. So this was one that just happened and he was 75 years old also.
Wow.
And yeah, he decreased his A1C by over 2% in that 6 months, which if you're not aware is really significant. And he was doing it while also, you know, he completed his first marathon and he really changed the way he was eating and improving glucose along the way. So it was a really cool story.
You know, I think that if, you know, and I'm going to say this and show ignorance, but I think that once you hit 75, you've kind of think, well, I've kind of sidestepped and avoided, you know, type 2 diabetes, you know, and not the case though. I figured, you know, it probably visits you a bit earlier, but apparently not.
Yeah. Now he has. So, you know, he got it a little bit and now he's really back in a non-diabetic range officially. So
great.
It's pretty exciting.
Well, and kudos for a 75-year-old saying,
yeah,
you know what? I want to change. You could be on the last chapter thinking, you know what? I led a good life at 75. I'm ready to close the book and get on with whatever's beyond here. But good for him to say, I want to stick around.
Yeah.
And I'm going to change my life and I'm going to go run a freaking marathon at 75. Are you kidding me?
Scott, I'm going to defend the 75-year-olds. There are a lot more pages in the book than 75. And when you get close, when you get close to 75, I'm going to remind you that you at one point quoted the book is about 75 and it doesn't matter if there's anything to the right.
Don't write letters, please. So I'm also thinking, okay, so let's say I'm an athlete. I've been running for years. I do the month plan and I learn a little bit about what's going on. And then I take a break and from the glucose monitor and I go and train for another 3 months or 4 months and then come back and do another month and see, is there a change? You mentioned the very beginning of the podcast where you go to your doctor and you said, no, I want these labs. I know I'm healthy. I want these labs to see what the trends are. I would think that this would be a good checkup for you, if you will, maybe every 6 months or maybe every year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually how most of our customers use the service is there's a learning phase and that can vary again for 1 month to sometimes 6 to 12 months where people use it back to back to really gain information, get on the right trajectory, get things dialed in, and then tend to come back on a periodic basis and maybe only use 1 to 2 sensors every like 6 to 12 months just to see how things have changed, make sure they're still on the right track, maybe just kind of push them into accountability again, refresh that internal motivation. So it can be a really great tool to use periodically. You know, we don't expect everyone to wear a CGM for every single day for the rest of their life. That's not necessarily the goal here. It's more about kind of gaining that insight and then keeping yourself on track in the long term.
Well, and again, for those who are having this question, it's very unintrusive. You apply it. You don't really sense that it's there. You can take showers. It doesn't fall off. In fact, after 2 weeks, it still had some stickiness to it. I had to peel it off pretty carefully. One question for you, Kara. This sounds like a medical device. Does someone need to go to their physician and get a prescription for this, or how does that all work?
Yeah, and it is a medical device in the United States, so it does require a prescription, but we take care of all of that for the customers that are coming through our platform. So all they have to do is sign up on our website, fill out a quick health questionnaire, and then we have a network of physicians licensed in all 50 states that kind of write that prescription. We fulfill the order and ship it to your door. So nobody has to do anything on their end. Take care of all of that.
How is, you know, if you go to Amazon, I don't even know where you'd go, you just Google it. There's a lot of different CGMs out there. What makes NutriSense different? What's your differentiator?
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest things is including the dietitian support in with the program. You know, every single customer gets one and they're all trained underneath me, and I tend to do a little bit more holistic view to nutrition than some traditional dietetics professionals you might have run into. So we're not going to follow a very like cut and dry approach. We're really going to meet you where you are and help you learn through the data. And no other CGM company or CGM offering out there includes the human support side of things. And so that's really unique to us, is we're really more about the human side of it and not just a biohacking tool or kind of like data for data's sake. We're really about trying to like help people with their goal that they would like to reach.
And kudos to those dietitians that you have on staff. They're non-judgmental. There was a little bit of fear. I got to say a little bit of consternation as I started this 2 week process of a dietitian that was going to go, holy cow, Scott, man, you got to change your diet. You should not even be alive right now. You know, that sort of stuff. They may have judged with the number of diet sodas that I drink during that. They're not judgmental. I love that about, they were just there to help and help you improve from where, like you said, start where you are, lift where you stand, and then move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to hear that you had a good experience.
I had a great experience. Great experience. This is interesting. You know, we talked probably about a year ago with one of our frequent guests, Alex Hutchinson, who has written a lot about health. He's on a lot of articles at Sweat Science on Twitter and Instagram. And he was experimenting with CGMs and what they can do. And I think this was really early on, and he was saying, I think that there is something here. I'm not sure whether it's there yet. I would say in my experience, it's there yet. I got a lot of information from it, and it taught me a little bit of more about how my body works. So kudos to your company, Kara.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate it. And I think for a long time, the original data and hardware that's been available for diabetics was not there yet for a general audience, because it was just the number. You know, historically, it's always just been like, this is your glucose number, and knowing what to do with that and where to take that information wasn't very usable for the average consumer. So really our goal was to kind of figure out how to make that digestible for a normal person and applicable to their life.
I like the choice of the word digestible. That was, it fit the topic. Kara, thank you so much for joining us today to teach us a little bit about what's going on inside our body and how we can take a look inside, listen to it, and become better runners. And as Scott likes to say, maybe even better people. And in this case,
healthier people.
Healthier people. In this case, I think it's true. So thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure.
And if you want to learn more, of course, we'll have the link in the show notes. But if you're an audio person, it's NutriSense.io. So remember that io.io, Nutrisense.io. And we, if you listen to the ad, either pre-roll or mid-roll, we're not sure where it was during this episode, we have a discount for you as well.
So go out and run.
Mas. Inspired by Patagonia's wilderness, Weiss creates products capable of withstanding the toughest conditions for doing what you love the most, running long in the heart of nature. Their vests, packs, flasks, poles, and accessories are perfect for long-distance runners. Visit weiss.run and get 10% off when you use the code TRN.
We've reached the end of the podcast, and Scott, it's kind of like reaching the finish line, and we'd like to give a few thanks to the people that made it happen.
First, we want to thank our Patreon members. If you want to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/trailrunnernation, or you can go to our website, and there's a support us tab at the top.
This show is produced and edited by the talented Ryan War.
Our social media is controlled by Yana Gibalova. If you need social media expertise, go to ascentmediasolutions.com.
Our website and graphics are by Katie Burke. She's at openstudiohours.com.
Check out all of our prior episodes, our deals page, where there's lots of cool gear deals and other stuff at trailrunnernation.com.
You can also find us at Twitter at We Are Nation, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and check out our show notes, Scott.
Now run.
Mas.